Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He is our Cleveland Browns beat reporter. He is Mr. Daryl Ryder. Hello, D. Welcome to the show.
What's happening, guys?
Daryl, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
You are.
I don't know if anybody could say a greeting faster than you do, Daryl. How do you do that?
I'm quick sometimes.
How do you do that?
Not often.
Very impressive. Very impressive. Hey, I'm going to drag you into what we talked about at the beginning. Can you envision a world where Baker Mayfield is at training camp sharing snaps with Josh Dobbs and Jacoby Brissett and Deshaun Watson? Can you envision that?
No, and if it happens, I will be standing on the sidelines during training camp with a flask. You think I'm joking? I'm dead serious, because that will be cause to be completely drunk during training camp. No, I don't think it's going to happen.
What circumvents that happening?
What circumvents it from happening is they've moved on from Baker.
They've done that now, though, in everything except contracts. So how do they do it? Do they find a trade partner? Do they release him? What's going to happen here, Daryl?
God, I hope they trade him or release him. I still think that they're gonna trade him. Something will happen that'll allow Andrew Berry to move him for something. Obviously, how much money the Browns are going to end up having to pay of the $18.858 million remains to be seen. That's a big sticking point. It's obviously something that the Browns organization doesn't want to talk about, but it's been a factor in negotiations here. So I think that the other part of this that people have to understand, too, is Baker's getting paid no matter what, and the Browns are going to be on the hook for most of it. If they release him, if they just cut him, and this is why releasing him just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If they cut him, what will likely happen is Baker will sign somewhere for the league minimum of just over $1 million, which means then the Browns have to pay over $17 million, the difference, okay, in that guaranteed salary. So if you're Andrew Berry, why would you cut a guy only to pay him that kind of money without getting anything in return? So that's why they're going to hang on to him. That's why they're going to try and trade him, because if they have to pay a massive chunk of that salary anyway, they got to get something back from him. For him, I should say. So they're going to be patient. They're going to wait, for an opportunity to present itself. But I really stand by this. Trading Baker is the much more reasonable way for Berry to proceed with this, even though this is just dragging on and on and on, and it's taking forever for them to get done.
All right, quick follow up on that. I agree with everything you said,
as you should.
Except for Let's take it. I agree with everything you said. What if training camp starts and he's still here?
Then I would anticipate that they will come to some mutually agreed upon policy where he will not be required to report for camp and he doesn't get fined either, wow, right? That they will excuse him from everything. He's still getting paid no matter what, but they're just not going to bring that distraction to Berea. Now, Baker is well within his rights if he wants to report. Same with the offseason program right now. He is well within his rights. He's on the roster still. He is well within his rights to show up in Berea, and the Browns have to, you know, accommodate him and, you know, provide him facilities to work out it and whatever. But neither party wants that. Let's be honest about it. So I do think that if he is still on the roster come training camp, that they will come to some mutual agreement where he doesn't have to show up. He's not going to be fined for not doing so. And I can't imagine that Baker Mayfield wants to step foot in that complex ever again.
You ready for the schedule game tonight? Are you a schedule game player?
But I'm not very good at playing the schedule game, if that makes sense. I usually need a little while to sleep on it. I'm pretty good at picking the final record, except for last year when I was dumb enough to pick the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. That did not end well for me. You know, the week-to-week schedule game, I'm not very good at it, but I'm pretty good at telling you how they're going to finish.
Do you think it's – I mean, there are all kinds of rumors flying about Carolina week one. Do you think that that's just kind of funny, that knowing that Baker's name has been thrown around there? And do you think – are you a guy that says, okay, I'm looking at the schedule, and now I can figure out what Deshaun's punishment's going to be?
Well, you know, a couple things. One, we're not supposed to root as media members, but I am so – if the week one opener against Carolina ends up being true, I am so rooting for the Browns to trade Baker to Carolina. You have no idea how much I want to see Baker Mayfield v. Deshaun Watson in week one. That would just be beyond spectacular theater. Number two, as far as Deshaun and discipline goes, I listened to Jason Lloyd with the morning guys today, Ken and Anthony, and I understand where Jason's coming from, but I'll tell you why the NFL hasn't disciplined him yet. I mean, the discovery stuff is still going on in these civil suits. I mean, today, Deshaun is back in Houston giving more depositions in a couple of these cases that have been filed against him. And, you know, the discovery phase of these proceedings is going to go into July. I think July 1 is when the judge said that the discovery phase should be wrapped up, the depositions, those type of things. Trials will probably commence next March, should these ultimately end up going to court and there's no settlement, which, again, Deshaun Watson has maintained his innocence throughout. He has said he is going to fight these accusations till the very end. So I don't know how the NFL, if they're still going through a discovery process in the civil cases, I don't know how the NFL all of a sudden can just have their investigation wrapped up by now. So, and then the other part of this too, that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, but let's say just for the sake of discussion, the NFL does suspend Deshaun before any of these cases go to trial in civil court. Well, now all of a sudden the league has now provided, I don't want to say evidence, but ammunition for the plaintiffs in the case. You know, because now they can go to court and argue, hey, even the NFL agrees with us that this Sean, violated league policy here, and he did these things that we are accusing him of. So I don't know if the NFL wants to get in the middle of that type of thing too. So the longer this goes on, the more I lean toward potential suspension in 2023 more than 2022. This way there can be a comprehensive, complete, and fair evaluation of this situation, because again, I think it's tough to suspend him for these accusations before they have even seen a courtroom.
Daryl Ryder is joining us. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I ask this really looking for an answer. How disconcerting is it for the team that all this is hanging over Deshaun's head and thus the team's head? Or is it not at all, because you're prepared to go with Jacoby Brissett?
It shouldn't be disconcerting. This is what the Cleveland Browns signed up for.
Okay.
So, too bad. If he's suspended for whatever time going into, too bad. If he gets suspended next, too bad. This is what you signed up for. You gave the guy $230 million and gave up six draft picks to bring him here. So you knew what you were walking into. Remember, at the press conference, they told us they did an exhaustive background check, both personally and legally, in addition to the football side, which obviously it's a no-brainer from a football standpoint because he's just such an electrifying player. He's absolutely worth every penny of the $230 million that they fully guaranteed to give him. But yeah, so no, I have zero sympathy for the Browns. I will not use the word disconcerting that they have to sit and wait for this process to play out, because this is what they signed up for. They made the trade. They knew what they were getting into, and so they have to live with whatever those consequences end up being.
Daryl, just playing the schedule game a little bit more with you here, is there a road game you're looking forward to the most? Like, I think Buffalo looks like a really fun game. That it's an easy game for Browns fans to get to. Obviously, yeah. Cincinnati's going to be a big deal this year, but that happens all the time. But Buffalo doesn't, and you know, Carolina obviously would be a fun one too, especially if Baker Mayfield's on the other team. So
well, and that'll be the last time that I believe that the Browns will travel to that particular stadium up in, but I don't even remember what they call that place, the old Ralph Wilson Stadium there in Buffalo, whatever corporate sponsor they have.
It was Rich for a while. Remember when it was Rich?
Whatever it is now, whatever they have on it. But that's the last time the Browns will be visiting that particular building, as the Bills are moving forward with replacing it. But look, I think Bengals, Ravens, Buccaneers, Bills, and Chargers, I think those are the five games we could potentially see in front of a national TV audience. Bengals, because they're coming off, obviously, getting to the Super Bowl. Ravens, Browns, Ravens is always compelling television. Deshaun Watson v. Lamar Jackson should be riveting to watch. And that's no sarcasm. I'm dead serious. That should be a real fun game to watch twice. Tampa Bay, last time Tom Brady comes to Cleveland, that's going to be a ton of fun to watch. So it wouldn't shock me if that got a national window. You mentioned the Bills. And then, of course, the Chargers. And look, I think that game in Los Angeles last year was one of the most entertaining games of the entire season between the Chargers and the Browns. So, so Deshaun Watson, Justin Herbert, I think that would be a fantastic matchup. So I think that those are the five opponents that could land the Browns on national TV. Maybe you just throw in the Steelers, because they always seem to put Brown Steelers on national TV. So I can't, I guess, discount the Steelers being involved potentially just because of, that rivalry. And, if Mitchell Trubisky ends up being the starting quarterback, it'll be the storyline, Mitchell Trubisky taking on his hometown team, the Cleveland Browns. So,
especially if it's the last game of the season. Yeah, it always seems like we're going to get the Ravens, Steelers, or
it makes sense Bengals. Ravens, Steelers, or Bengals to end the season, because you're talking about potential division being on the line, and you're also talking about playoff berths being on the line. To be perfectly honest with you, Andy, I like the way last year's schedule ended for the Browns.
At Pittsburgh, then Cincinnati.
Yeah, I really did like that ending, finishing with two divisional opponents. I don't know if we'll get that this year or if they'll throw, somebody else in there, but absolutely week 18. I'm used to saying week 17 it's 17 games, so week 18. I absolutely expect it to be an AFC North matchup to wrap up the season.
You know, along those lines, didn't you think it was interesting? What we didn't get to, when the first AFC North game was Pittsburgh, like week 7, week 8?
Yeah, it was a long time before they got
it. It took forever
to
get to the AFC North last year. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I didn't like that either. That was one of the things I didn't like about last year's schedule. It took so long to get into divisional play. Now, I like the fact that the back end of the schedule was weighted with divisional games. I like, putting the three division opponents in that, I don't want to say back quarter, but maybe final six games, you play at least three divisional games. I think that's a great schedule. I also kind of like putting the divisional opponents within the first maybe seven games of the season as well. And then you have the middle of your season where you're filling out the rest of the schedule, right? The rest of your opponents. But I like early division games, and I like late in the season divisional games, because it kind of sets the tempo for the season. And then at the end, it helps determine who actually wins that division and gets the postseason.
Daryl, I have one last thought for you. Something happened yesterday in the NFL that I assumed was going to happen at some point. I think it's the start of it, and I wonder if the Browns are going to get involved. And it's this. Three veteran wide receivers who weren't on anybody's, you know, hit list of, boy, we need to get this guy, signed with teams. Dante Pettis, who was with the Niners, he signed with the Bears. He was with the Giants, too. A guy named Tajay Sharp, who I've always kind of liked, signed with the Bears. And Keelan Cole signed with the Raiders. I've been assuming the Browns are going to sign a guy something like this, if not maybe shoot a little higher, like with Will Fuller or Julio Jones or something like that. Do you expect the Browns to bring in even a guy like Pettis or Sharp or Cole, or do you think they're satisfied with the 8 or 9 guys that they're going to bring to camp at wide receiver?
I think that they are not going to take snaps away from Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, Michael Woods. I don't see it. I don't see them taking those opportunities away. I think it's going to be Amari Cooper and the kids. I maintain that. The investments that they have made at that position, I think, put the writing on the wall. Do I think they should bring in someone? Well, that's a different conversation. But I think that they are going to go and give these kids those opportunities, not just in training camp, Jeff, but into the season, and really see if Donovan Peoples-Jones and Schwartz, and look, I think David Bell potentially could have the outside of Cade York, because obviously with Cade being the new kicker, he's going to impact the season. But I think David Bell is going to have the most impact of this rookie class outside of York on the field. Potentially by the end of the season, he might be the number two receiver on this team. I think that there's a very good possibility that happens. So do I think they should probably bring in a veteran, Jeff? Yeah, they probably should. Do I think they will? No, because they want to get these young kids as much work as they possibly can.
Thank you, Daryl.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl. When's the next time we can hear you? Is there a podcast or anything you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I believe we're going to play the schedule game on our next podcast.
Tomorrow
when it drops, we will play the schedule game.
Oh, I'm excited.
Week-by-week breakdown of the Browns' 2022 season schedule. Looking forward to it on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, D.
You bet, guys. Talk to you soon.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.